You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
This movie would have been so much better if it was the Zerg from StarCraft, you know, just the Terran guys going, "Live for the Swarm," stuff like that. That would have been a great horror film to watch.
Or maybe a remake to the 1978 Michael Caine version.
Yeah, no, I kept looking and I'm like, wait, which Swarm movie is this? Because there's been like that one, I think one other movie that's a Swarm or the Swarm of some sort, right?
I remember the movie Wasp that came out like 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh,
that
was, yeah.
Fair enough. Hey, everybody, this is a very French horror movie called The Swarm, or I guess for our French speakers there, La Nuée. This movie was supposed to premiere at Cannes last year, but of course, because of COVID, nothing got shown that year, and they shuffled around a couple of film festivals, including one that's in Spain, I believe you mentioned, right, Drew?
Yeah, Sitges, I think it played at.
Okay, that explains why half the reviews are in Spanish on Rotten Tomatoes. And now Netflix, because they are the saviors of doomed projects, they just scooped it up and dumped it onto their surface. I joke, but that's actually fairly common for them to rescue, like, struggling foreign films or indie projects and that stuff. I mean, I've seen several films already that were supposed to be, like, festival circuit darlings that only happened because Netflix came in.
They're just kind of doing that as a courtesy, I suppose. Like, hey, we'll put it on, we'll stream it, we'll overdub it. Never know what will happen.
Well, now we know what happened after watching this movie. But hey, I'm Justin Zarian, like I mentioned, and over here is Drew.
Hello, all.
Hey, hey. And over here is Santiago.
Oui, oui. Hello.
Oh, bonjour, man. Oui, oui, Santiago. Could you summarize the plot of this extravagant movie?
I'll try. Yes. But let's say that, you know, there's some social commentary here. We're it starts off with this rural farming family, or at least it's a recently widowed woman who is struggling to make ends meet. She, I guess, has convinced herself that growing crickets is a way to make a living, and maybe just grinding them down, feeding
them.
Which
actually is a thing people are trying to do, like trying to use insect meat as a substitute for meal and other kind of stuff because it's super high in protein.
Yeah, which they say in this film so many times, it's so high in protein, you know, yada, yada, yada.
In case you didn't get it, they're going to remind you many times in this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And things take a twisted turn. I'm not sure if I should give it away, but I will tell you that there are bloodthirsty animals involved. Yeah, the rest is a bit of a conglomeration of different horror movies that seem to come together to make what is the latest edition of Netflix adopted foreign film.
You say that for a conglomeration of horror films. I don't know if this movie remembered it's a horror film at many points of this movie. It feels like it's a French family drama, and then it's like, oh, but right, there's also the bloodthirsty crickets in this movie.
Definitely true. I do think that I got, for some reason, I kept being reminded of Little Shop of Horrors. I don't.
Oh, so much so.
But make it French, you know. But I do think that there's some elements of madness in this film that are notable.
Well, and that's probably the most interesting part of the story is the gradual descent of madness happening with the main character, which is being played by
Soulian Bram or something?
Soulian Bram, something like that. But I will say, for her credit, she and the other actors in this movie are all very good. You know, they're giving their best for what roles they have in this movie.
Yeah, and you're right. It does kind of forget it's a horror film sometimes, but it doesn't really follow the kind of, you know, that the insects are, you know, the slasher that's kind of, and it doesn't follow those slasher beats of like, you know, here now it's time for a kill. It is kind of, you know, a slow burn like that. But when they do come, it's more about somebody kind of discovering what Virginia is actually doing. You know, and how kind of bloodthirsty they're becoming. So I liked the horror aspect of that, where it's really the you know, her teenage daughter kind of discovering what's really happening on the farm and how desperate it's all getting. And there is social commentary because of that, because it's really just showing how, like, farmers end up exploiting themselves, and because she actually ends up kind of supplying some of the blood if she has to at times when pigs are harder to get.
And that way, I did think it was quite practical, which, you know, isn't very horror-esque. And, you know, that's maybe why it was a little more interesting at the onset, you know, that things are kind of just working out rather, you know, nonchalantly.
Yeah. But, and that's the thing, is that I like the overall concept of how they're pacing this film, because it is a very kind of art horror film in some aspects. But I just feel like the parts where it's more the family drama, that's at least a good hour and 10 minutes of this hour 40 minutes movie. The actual horror stuff is just so parceled out in small details, and when they happen, they're really, really effective. But they also hardly happen in this movie. You know, for a movie called The Swarm, it's more the family for the most part, because you have to deal with the teenage daughter's struggle with, oh, people are bullying me because my mom grazes crickets, or her interesting little, I guess, kind of romantic-ish angle with the, as he puts it, the hot Arab guy who lives down the street from her in the vineyard. And that stuff would be good, but it's called The Swarm. You know, I kept waiting for those moments to happen, and by the time they did happen, the movie was almost over.
Definitely was waiting for a very, like, apocalyptic, biblical happening that never quite came.
It almost was there. Almost.
Almost. Almost. Maybe they just ran out of film.
You know, Koreans have a whole, like, grasshopper festival where it's kind of reminding them, you know, when they didn't have anything else to eat, and that still goes on. But there wasn't anything, like, you know, biblical in this at all. That wasn't it didn't talk about a plague or anything like that. It was much more personal than that and more intimate, which I actually kind of liked. It reminded me of the new film Unearth with Adrien Barbeau a little bit, where it's the kind of same struggle of, like, of a family. And Adrien Barbeau is really fantastic in that, but that's all about, you know, fracking and families sacrificing their land to big oil. But Adrien Barbeau even grew up on an actual farm, so I'd be curious to if anybody involved in this movie actually kind of grew up on a farm and wanted to take this project on because of this, or writing.
You know, I kind of feel like that's a bit of an issue where it seemed the writers and the directors weren't always on point with what kind of movie they were aiming to make, because the director of this is just Philippe Pott, I think is the name. And this actually, I believe, is their feature debut in this case, which, to be fair, for a feature debut in terms of craft and art and that such, it's really, really well made with the cinematography and the editing and the flow overall. And the writers, which, just some French names, I will spare the details on this, but just saying, again, it seemed like they seemed a bit at odds with what kind of film they're making. But also part of the problem, too, I would argue with this, is that while it is sympathetic overall and a generally interesting idea about how the characters relate to this problem, I got to the point where I started to not really like the main character at all in this story. Because I get it, it's a story of madness, but they seem to also want you to have some sympathy for her in that way that, you know, Little Shop of Horrors did, where it's like, yeah, we feel bad for the main guy, for Seymour, but he's still very lovable. Virginia is not lovable, and she's not supposed to be, but they kind of tease you just like, well, but she's just doing what's right for her family. And I'm like, there's a very specific scene where that sympathy went all out the window for me in that case.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yep. For people who watch this movie, you will know exactly when that happens. You go, screw that girl. You know, just like, what are you doing?
Did you want her to, like, just break out in song? Is that what you needed to have? Like a musical number in there?
No, I feel like there needed to be some self-awareness of the character, because it feels like she's just so driven by madness that it makes it harder for you to relate to her at certain points. And it's like, yeah, that's, I, like you said, it's the exploitation of farmers idea, but that point seems to get away sometimes of her characterization in the story, in my opinion. At least it's not the worst, but it felt like a missed opportunity to make her, you know, to make the story much more grounded and to make it more empathetic with what you're trying to feel for the overall point of the story.
Yeah, maybe if she would have had a little bit more of a relationship with Gaston, the other farmer, and they had a little bit of a connection and she warmed up a little bit, maybe that would have made her a little more likable.
Yeah, which they tease that at certain points, and then they're just like, never mind, kind of thing.
There was a missed opportunity for me where there's an element of depravity in the family that wasn't quite driven home well enough for me to appreciate her descent into madness, yeah. Particularly that, you know, what was going on with her children, and then, you know, what we know happened to her husband, and basically how there seems to be well, nobody else around other than this person that is, you know, maybe half interested in her.
Yeah, there's that guy and the jerk duck farmer down the road too.
Yeah, but she doesn't seem interested in any of that. We assume that she will be for obvious reasons, but she's just, you know, way down the rabbit hole into that relationship, which I think, you know, Drew is commenting on, which is ubiquitous, I think, where the farmer sacrifices himself or his crop or herself in this case.
I feel like it's really hard to say a lot about this movie, one, without spoiling it, but two, to say much about what actually happens in the film. Because when you think about the actual pacing of the events, I mean, it is a short movie, but it does feel like there's very little, like, the key plot points that happen here. You know, it's mostly a lot of mood, a lot of tone, a lot of building up tension kind of thing. I don't know. It's really hard to comment why it does work, but it also doesn't work for me.
It kind of reminded me of this other rural horror film called Isolation that was years ago. It went on the festival circuit, too, where a cow kind of gets experimented on. And it's directed by Bill O'Brien, the guy that did I'm Not a Serial Killer.
Oh.
And I wasn't expecting to be reminded of that kind of film. I think when you have a title like The Swarm, it's really misleading, and you're not expecting this type of movie. So I think it's going to surprise people, and probably in not a good way. So you're already kind of a little off kilter when you even start playing. Because when I think of The Swarm, I think of old, you know, paperback novels like Ants and The Swarm with 1978 with, you know, the all-star cast where it's like a disaster film.
Yeah, you think of like something like It's Alive or some evocative title like that,
right?
Kind of thing.
Food of the Gods or whatever it is, where we're all screwed by insects at some point. I mean, it does still have the message that we're going to upset the natural order of things. Like, she does talk about that a little bit, and that we're all going to be eventually doomed. So she might be right on about that. But yeah, it's a kind of surprising film in that way. It goes in a completely different direction.
Though, arguably, too, almost everything that happens in this movie is her fault. So that kind of makes it seem like, well, I get what you mean, but...
You know? Maybe we should have just moved.
That made it really hard to sympathize with her, because literally the option to do anything other than what happened in the movie is presented at like the 20-minute mark of this film. And you're just like, oh, but she's just going to go to that route. Okay. You know, I will say something to this movie's credit, though, like something I really did genuinely like. Most of the effect work in here is actually practical. There's only maybe two or three major CG sequences, and they're used very sparingly. And everything else is just shots of locust and crickets, you know, just doing their thing.
Yeah, I don't know what the insect wrangling was like on this film, but it was pretty impressive. And just like the sheer amount of critters that they use is really impressive.
Though I will say a slight knock too is that this movie was clearly made on the cheap too, because you notice how many times they would cut away from certain things because they couldn't actually show it.
Yeah, I wonder if they wanted to not go that graphic, or if it was a budget choice.
I think it was a little of both, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, it just seemed like it was a very purposeful decision, but it also purposeful in artistic merit, and we have no money. So... But, yeah, I think, unless there's anything else, do we want to just move on to final thoughts then?
Sure. I'm with it. Sure.
Yeah. No, I don't really have a whole lot to say about this. I watched it, and I had a few moments where I was genuinely invested in this, and some of the actual creature moments were really, really effective. There's just not a lot of them. There's just very little payoff for the amount of attention this built. And, honestly, I hate saying this because I hate the trend of how this has worked out, but I feel like this may be the perfect case example of a movie that desperately needs a remake from someone else. You know, I don't want to endorse that. I hate the idea that we just remake everything. But this movie is like a great concept pitch. This movie in someone else's hands, you don't have to change too much. You can keep the same general premise, but maybe piece it out a little better. Balance out the family sequences with the actual swarm sequences. And give it an ending. In this case, I think this could be a great freaking movie done with somebody else in charge. As it is, it's a very good, just barely missed opportunity. So, I don't know. I'm just going to give it a 5 out of 10 ginger crispy fried crickets.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you on that, too. I mean, maybe it'll be Eli Roth's The Swarm or Adam Wingard's The Swarm, like a really giant budget version of this. Or Lee Janiak's The Swarm.
I would say somebody who's not a big budget horror director, it's got to be, like I said, it's got to be someone with this kind of mentality, this art horror style. You know, like Ari Oster's The Swarm or something like that.
Oh, no. Yeah, sure. That would be very detail-oriented, for sure.
And it would be almost NC-17, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
But you're right, I did, you know, the kind of tactile feel of this movie, you do you, especially if I watched it with headphones on, and seeing that amount of insects altogether and everyone interacting with them and really doing the work, the farm work that's needed and has to be shot, must have been difficult to make. And it is affecting to see all that, even the constant screeching and chirping that's happening, which I'm guessing was a lot of the actual noise. That sound design is really unsettling. And what's funny is, you know, my wife's uncle has a feed mill outside of State College in Pennsylvania, and I'm going to ask him if he feeds them with his own blood on a can of cable. just as an icebreaker, just as a conversation starter. But as it stands, I'll probably give this 2,600 out of 5,000 blood locusts.
So specific.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with what, unfortunately, with what most of y'all said. I get the art house vibe from this film. There's definitely a noir element to this that I can appreciate. The sound design was unsettling. I definitely remember that. I'm a little bit jealous that Drew watched it with headphones on, because I bet it sounded really cool.
I mean, it still sounded good on a TV speaker, too, even with that.
That being said, I wasn't over or underwhelmed with this film. I was just whelmed.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It was just fine. I wasn't totally bored or wildly entertained, but I do think that there are some ideas that can be ran with here to some really awesome fruition. So I agree with that idea. As far as the film itself, from the way it looks, I think it looks really cool, regardless of the fact that it could have used a little bit more money to make the CGI elements a little bit cooler. I did think it actually looked very practically kind of simplistic in a way that made it almost believable. I don't know. There was some, I was like, this takes place in my world. And that was kind of cool. So I'll give it some credit for that. All that said, I think what's fair to give this film, and I do think this is fair, by the way, I'm just going to give it 6 out of 10 really hairy, detached tentacles. That was gnarly.